Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for this wonderful time you've gotten us into. And I praise you, Lord, for all the things that we're being able to witness right before our eyes. Some of these things are just unimaginable. We couldn't make this up, Lord, and I'm thanking you for it, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that all the things that you're doing and are going to do, we praise you for it, Father. This is exciting times, and we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, that we're all a part of it. And we thank you, Father, for the time ahead where the revival will start. And because of your people getting out there and preaching the word with signs and wonders following. Father God, you know this is the time that people, they're going to populate heaven at its best. And we praise you, Father, for showing us that. Lord, we thank you for helping us find all of these people that are lost after this hurricane came through that the deep state pushed up here. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to find them all, get them to safety, get care done to them. And we praise you for that, Father. Lord, we thank you that it's a time that a lot of people reflect on where they are with you, Lord, and that they come closer to you because of it, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your glory and your Holy Spirit tonight, that you'd fill us all, Lord, that not only would we be filled, Lord, that you would direct us and guide us this whole night, in Jesus' name. And not only just tonight, Lord, from now on, in every second of our day, that you would guide us and lead us into the things that you'd have us to go into, Lord. And we praise you, Father, for setting a watch before our lips to speak only as an oracle of you, of your word. And we praise you, Father, for helping us to remind ourselves to do that. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the humility that you've given us, the humbleness, walking in that humble lifestyle like Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we also have on our lips thanks and praises to you for all the things that are happening in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for all you're doing in this outreach tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to make an announcement. Do not worry about the election. Everything is going to be okay if you believe. Just keep praising and thanking God that the election is going to be fine. Everything is going to be hunky-dory. And God's in control. So we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. We believe, Lord. We're not going to back off of that. Yes, and we do win. We do win. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Like David said this morning in the meeting, I will say this also. You can now, the Lord said, you can now send your own angels out to do things for you. If you need things done, send your angels out to do it, whatever it is. He said, use them. That's what they're there for. So, praise God. We've been sending some angels out. Glory to God, I'm telling you. Ooh, my, my, my. Thank you, Lord. They're staying busy now. They're not sitting around doing nothing. They're staying busy. Praise God. And that's what they like to do. The angels like to do things. For the kingdom. For the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yep, we do. We win. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Teresa? Go ahead, Teresa. Can y'all hear me? Uh-oh. We command the communications from Teresa to us to be good in Jesus' name. Good communications in Jesus' name. No, we can't hear you.
Can you
get closer? Now we can, yeah.
Okay. Nope. Unstable. Can't hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Okay. I heard that Iran has shot missiles into Israel, and a lot of people are thinking it's World War III. And so how does this tie in with Trump?
Don't worry about it. It's taken care of. There's peace in the Middle East. We just believe in it. Just believe in it. I'm telling you, that's a natural fact, a spiritual fact, both.
So is it not the right time for the wars going on in the Middle East?
No.
Okay, so they're supposed to come at a later time?
Yeah, it'll come at a later time, sure, yeah.
Okay.
It will. It comes in after the man-child.
Okay.
Same time after. And that's, look, we're right there. We're getting close. We're very close to that. Mm-hmm. All of that. Okay. Look, it was wars and rumors of wars. Well, we've had the wars. We've had the rumors of wars. But God intervenes when his people pray.
Okay.
Yeah. There will be wars and rumors of wars.
So what should we pray? What should we be praying?
Just thank God that there is peace right now. We're going to have relatively good peace for 3.5 years anyway.
Okay.
Peace for the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The true Christians, you know. Yeah, Julie?
I've been praying that God is using all of this, even though we don't fully understand what's going on over there, that there is a time that God's using all this to draw people to him. And I got a text message before I even knew anything about it. I got a text message from my sister saying, "We need to pray for Israel." She's like, "Pray for Israel." And then I saw something was going on, and then my brother, you know, put something in their chat as well. And so I know they are where they are. They think naturally about Israel, and they think naturally about a lot of things going on over there and stuff, you know, that, and a lot of it's true, you know, that Israel is a sign and a type and a shadow and all that. So I had just been praying that God use all this to turn people to prayer, turn people to God. And learn to trust him and pray and intercede and that kind of thing. So, and that's what we all have to learn to do is trust. You know, trust God when we don't understand things and they look bad, right, on the surface. So that's what I would encourage you to pray, Teresa.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I can tell you, I can't tell you a whole lot, but I can tell you this. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be fearful about this kind of war, because God's handling it. He is handling it, and I can attest to that firsthand. That it's, and all we do now is just praise and thank God that he's keeping peace right now. And we're also going to have a fair election. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Andrew.
Let's not forget about the brothers and sisters in Iran too, right? Because it's supposed to be a pretty nice place of growing Christianity.
I'll say something about that right quick. Look for a miracle there, and that's all I can say. Just look for a miracle there. They're fixing to be one. Praise God. If you remember, Andrew, back during the Shah, when he was in power, there were people were relatively happy over there, and they loved Americans, and the Christians were able to thrive in Iran at that time. It's only when the Ayatollah got a hold of it that the crackdown on Christians and other religions happened, and the hate and all of that stuff came with it. And they were locked down and controlled like a bunch of prisoners by these reckless, anger-filled, bitter Ayatollahs. But God fixed to change it. Heartbeat. I'm sorry, Andrea, did you have any more that you wanted to add?
No, it dawned on me because they say it's one of the fastest moving places for Christianity now.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know this, but there is a revival in the Middle East going right now that is, it's big. It's big.
Yeah, and the brothers and sisters, of course, in Israel, too, because they're in
control. Yeah. Absolutely. It's going to... Praise God. Yeah, just praise God and thank God that peace is there. Go ahead, Ben.
I got a bit of a praise report. Well, I think it's a very good praise report. I went to go visit my mom the other day, and I was expecting my sister there because that's where she was, because she wasn't living with her husband, and apparently she's back home with him. Yeah, so praise God for that. You know, that's an answered prayer. My mom's a little distraught because, you know, she just wants the best for her daughter. It's a very I could definitely tell she was very scared, and she doesn't scare easily. So I'll also ask for prayer for my mom because she needs just peace in her mind. And, she literally lives right across the street, so she's not far from her. So thank you, Father, for this testimony. Thank you, Father, for... This bringing my sister back to her husband. I thank you, Father, for the answer to the prayers. I thank you, Father, for a loving spirit that's on my sister. And I thank you, Father, for helping Zach get clean. I thank you, Father, for helping Zach, you know, open his mind and to just clear his mind of disgusting addiction. We thank you, Father, for doing whatever the heck you're doing through them, because I know it's going to be good for the kingdom. Father, we thank you for your sovereignty over all situations, and we thank you, Father, for getting Zach clean and keeping Meg in love with her husband. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Ben that this is so. Jesus' name, that his sister and her husband will hook up again, and he'll be free of that addiction, and they'll have a happy life in you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Lord, I thank you for healing Willard and also Larry. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. We've already put up the prayers for both of them, and we thank you, Father, they are healed, whole, and out of that bed of affliction already, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And Lord, the other prayers that we prayed for Larry, thank you, Lord, for answering those too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Oh, yeah, and Jeff, too. Absolutely. Thank you, Father, for healing Jeff. And thank you, Lord, that Terry is happy and taking care of her husband. And thank you, Lord, that Jeff is out doing work now. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I don't have a prayer request per se. It could lead to one, but I could pray too. I just want to share when I was off visiting my family, I felt to go visit my sister and brother-in-law for an hour or two, you know, before I left to go come home. And my brother-in-law had surgery yesterday on his shoulder, and he's not safe. But anyway, so I texted my sister and asked her if I could come over and visit for a little bit if they were not doing anything Saturday morning. My brother-in-law, you know, not being saved, says to my sister, "Is she coming to pray for me?" And I don't know if that was before or after. I think it was before she told him that I was there watching my little grandson Ryder from Matt and Megan. And so when she told me that, I said to her, I said, "So he's open to being prayed for?" She goes, "Yeah, you know." So then later he comes in, and right before I left, I prayed for him and all, you know, we just all held hands and I prayed for him, and that was just like cool. But one thing that my sister told me was is he's supposed to be off work 4 to 6 months to recoup from this surgery because he's a truck driver, and that being his shoulder. But anyway, so like I don't know how long it's been. I don't think it's been a whole year. But anyway, when Frank was eligible to get health benefits and stuff in his job, it was only going to cost him like $15 for a major medical because it's through the company. $15, I think, every week or something like that. And $15 for eye and dental added to that. But anyway, but to put my sister on, it was going to be $200 a week. And I don't know if it was just because of that or what, but she said she didn't want to be put on it because she's been walking in faith. You know, she's learned to, through me, you know, telling her my experiences and me praying for her and Lord healing her hip. And I think that's maybe why he asked if I was going to come pray for him. But anyway, so for I don't know how many months, they were taking out $200 a week. That's $800 a month. And when Cindy saw that it was being taken out, she said something to him about it. And she didn't think, for some reason, she didn't think that they could stop it now for some reason because of her past experience about something with health insurance. I don't know. But anyway, so, you know, she was like concerned about it because that's a lot of money. But anyway, so... She just kind of felt to let it go, leave it be. So then when this came up with Frank scheduling to have surgery, she felt to push it. Well, what ended up happening was that over 8 period, they reimbursed him $1,300 a month, which was a week, I think it was. Something like that, and it adds up to $10,000. So that's going to help them tremendously while he's off this 4 to 6 months. And Cindy says that was God. That was a God thing, you know. And Frank had to admit that it was because he said that if we'd had that 200 extra a week, it would have been spent. And I said, "See, you didn't need to spend that money, did you? You found out you did anyway." So it was cool. That was just, and she told me something else that God sovereignly did, and I can't remember what it was to save my life because I was so honed in on this whole story. I have to ask her again. What was that other thing you told me? But anyway, so I just wanted to praise and thank the Lord for that. And the Lord's really been working in Frank's heart. And it's just so cool that, you know, that the Lord just worked all that out that way. So I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that Frank's coming into the kingdom very, very soon. And he's here working in his heart in a tremendous way. And I just thank you and I praise you for doing that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I'm just agreeing with Missy there, because it sounds really exciting that they would talk about prayer to you.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful thing that a person talks about with a family member. It's a great blessing from God for you and for the Lord Jesus too, for good counsel to come out of that. Anyway, I was just gonna, like, I had my hand up at the same time as Missy, and I thank the Lord for that particular item. It's a powerful item, because it might get him thinking about prayer too. Praise God. I'd like to pray for all the family members, because there's a lot of negativeness out there, and you know, they tend to watch this TV set a lot, and it seems to be everywhere. They go to work and they'll see it there too. And so I just want to have a prayer before my Lord for that kind of stuff. Father God, I just pray that family members would realize that there's a lot of words out there that are very negative, and that they could be infected by these words, that they should stay away from this, I guess they call it woke, Father. So they shouldn't be listening to it all the time. It's just nerve-wracking. It's not a good place to be listening to these spirits and being affected by these spirits, Father. So I just pray, Father, that they would, you would give them better things to listen to your word, to things that are gentle, family oriented according to your word, Father. Even if they don't know it's according to your word, but it is all according to your word, Father, that they would want to be family-oriented, that they would want to be God-oriented. And I pray, Father, that this might be some first step that the people in our families could concentrate on. After all, there is a heritage there. There is a ancient heritage that they are from these Christian facilities that they were in, that you would even draw them closer by what they see, Father. For they must acknowledge that that the creation is all exposed to this vanity by you, Father, so that they can give you a hope, some of the hope that they need to have, some of the expectation, the assured expectation or an earnest expectation to try and have them drawn to you, Father, according to these things that are wrong. They know it's wrong, Father. So I just pray that, Father, for our families here and worldwide, in Jesus' name I pray. For those you will be calling also, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
I'd like to share a little bit too about how the Lord does about me going to see my family and just a little bit about just some things that the Lord did, and it was amazing. I'd say a week at the most before my daughter-in-law Megan called me. I was thinking, okay, I don't see anything in the foreseeable future that I'm going to go see the family. And Ryder's birthday is the 27th and Maverick's is the 14th of October. So, you know, I was thinking I was going to send their birthday gifts, buy them birthday gifts and send them off in the mail. So I went to Walmart and I got, you know, I was just going to get for Ryder at the time. And I just felt to get for Maverick too. So I got them both birthday gifts and a card. And, but at some point in that, some, I don't remember when it was, you know, if it was before or after I bought their gifts or whatever, this thought came to me that, Matt and Megan are going to need me to, they're going to want me to come and watch Ryder because for some reason, Megan's mom can't watch him. And then another thought came to me, with sending them off in the mail, you know, something's going to come up. This thought came up to me that something's going to come up, you know, and here I've sent these, this gift off and I wouldn't have had to that I'm going to go be going to the family. Well, Friday came and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to send this off. If I send it off Monday, it might not get there by Friday. So I need to send it off Saturday. So the post office said online that they closed it for. And I'm like thinking, I don't think so. That sounds awfully late for a Saturday. So I had some things to do and some errands to run. And, I got to the post office just after 1 o'clock. The lobby closed at 1 o'clock. You could probably get self-service. And I was like, ah. And I thought, okay, well, there's a reason for that. There must be a reason why I wasn't, you know, didn't get that sent off. Well, Megan calls me the very next day and asks me to watch Ryder. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm like, and I'm like asking Merle, you know, about it, you know, if that's going to be a problem or whatever. And I'm like praying about it. And it's like the Lord's reminded me of these, all these thoughts that were in my head. He's like, he was telling me, that was me talking to you. That was me telling you that, you know, but I did get I asked for a random verse and it was Titus 2:5, I think it was, but it was in the midst where, I said, give me something that I know that I know that it's, that it was, that this is your, a definitive answer. Well, it was about, where about the older women, teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children and something like that. I think it was Titus 2:5 or whatever. And I was just like, wow, what an answer, you know? So anyway, cause it has to do with the family life, you know, and whatever. And so I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. But one little neat little thing while I was there, one day I took Ryder out when it was just maybe very, very slightly misting at times. And I was only able to take him for a walk twice because it's been so rainy lately. But anyway, we went down the sidewalk and he wanted to race. He wanted to race. And so I thought, well, Matt probably does this with him down the sidewalk, you know? And so we raced, I don't know how many times. I'd let him win most of the time, you know, but I had to win, like, I had to make sure I won, like, maybe it was like 3 times just to let him know. I said, it's okay if you don't always win, you know? But he just loved it. He was just so tickled. He just loved it. And when I told Megan about this, she says to me, when she realized we were racing on the sidewalk, she says, we only ever had him do it. I mean, he only ever did that one day in the backyard. We didn't want him to do it on the sidewalk, afraid that he would trip and fall, you know, or, you know, get all scunned up, you know. And, you know, and I said, that came to me, but I prayed that he didn't. And I was just like so tickled. I mean, I was just like, he was just enjoying it so much. And finally I said, I'm getting hot, you know, because it was humid and on the warmer side or whatever. But anyway, so that was cool. And just in my memory, just watching him run down in front of me, just his little legs just going so fast. And I mean, and he didn't hold back and he even had Crocs on. Now I made sure the little thing was up over his heel, but he did not even stumble at all. He was just running his little heart out, and it was just, just praise the Lord. Thank you for all the little moments with him, because of all the grandkids, I don't get to spend as much time with, and he is He is just a delight. He's a smart little stinker. He just turned 3. And I got to tell you one little thing you said. It was so funny. Early in the day, I had my hair down like I have it now. And then later on, when he was taking a nap, I pulled the sides up. And when he saw me later on after that, he looks at me and he says, "What happened to your hair?" And I said, "Oh, I just pulled my sides up." And Megan looks at me, says, "He's very observant." It's just, he's just so funny. He's a pistol. He is so smart and he talks so well. I just praise the Lord and thank the Lord for having that opportunity and just loving on him and loving on Matt and Megan as much as I could and just shining Jesus, the love of Jesus. I just praise you, Lord, and thank you for that. Okay, I'm done. You're muted, Michael.
I know that. I had to say that behind my mute so y'all wouldn't hear me. I said, well, no, what I said to myself was this, that the grandkids, they're a treat, always. They're always a treat. You know why? Because you can send them home when you get tired of them. That's why. Praise the Lord. But I don't ever get tired of mine. That's it. I want them to stay with me all the time. All right. Anyone else? Julie or Missy, either one of y'all want to give that testimony of that lady that over in the flood?
No, I can put the link in the chat, though, if somebody wants to watch. It's like 11 minutes or something. It's a tearjerker.
You were talking way too fast for me.
I said I would put the link in the chat if okay. anyone wants to watch it, because it's like 11 minutes. But it's really an awesome testimony of God. You know, it's just their faith and trusting God and believing Him. And yeah, you know, you'll cry. You'll cry. I'll tell you up front. You'll cry. Yeah. You may not cry right away, but you'll cry.
It's heart wrenching, but it's also very. It shows you about the glory of God. It tells you about the glory of God in the midst of very bad circumstances.
I sent it to both my daughter-in-laws, and I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that it's going to touch the very depths of their hearts. And I thank you, Lord, that they are going to watch it and ask their husbands to watch it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. It's going to touch their hearts. It's going to draw them, Lord, to you. Thank you, Lord.
If you come back after you watch it and you say you didn't cry, I'm going to call you a liar. It's that heart-wrenching. It really tugs at your heart. It's a real story that happened just a few days ago.
Are we opposed to watching it now?
I don't mind doing it. Go ahead, Julie. Let me give you the deal here.
Nobody's allowed to turn their camera off.
Amen. All right, you got it. Make sure you check the boxes.
one family is dealing with unimaginable grief, losing three loved ones in Asheville, North Carolina, when they were swept away in floodwaters. Two members of this family, one of which is a survivor of this devastating event, they're coming out to share their story 4 days later.
Megan Dyer and her sister Heather Kephart lost their parents, and Megan lost her seven-year-old son, Micah. Megan agreed to do the interview with us this morning in Micah's honor. Megan and her sister Heather, they join us live here on Weather Command, and we do appreciate you both for being here with us. Let us start by saying we are so, so sorry for your loss. Megan, you witnessed this happen, and when we experience grief, so often we are asked, how are you holding up? But I feel like I know the answer to that already, so let me ask you this then. How is your grief today?
My grief today is unfathomable. I'm sorrowful. I feel broken. But what is the main thing that I take away from grief is the uplifting of all the prayers that I've received. And I think that all the chain of prayers that I have felt are the things that held me up, the things that are holding me together right now. Because if it was up to my humanly flesh, I wouldn't be able to do it. Family, togetherness, many, many people reaching out, praying, sending their support. That's the pieces that I can't have on my own that they're putting together for me.
And Heather, by your side, Megan, we also know your other sister, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Initially, when the story started coming out of Western North Carolina, your sister Jessica was posting updates on Facebook before, even after the rescue and those subsequent updates. There is this picture I believe you took on the roof, and only if you feel comfortable sharing what was going through your mind, because you, your parents, and your son, I believe those were your shoes, had to evacuate to the roof.
Yes, we did. It was our only hope at that point. Everything else was covered in water. We were on the roof, and I considered at that moment that we were at our safe point. So I took a picture because at that point I still had service and I wanted to keep them in the loop. I thought we were okay still, until the house broke apart and until everything started to collapse. Devastation. I was terrified, but in that moment, all I thought about was being a mom and keeping my son safe and reassuring him that this is how superheroes are made. We survive and we keep going. And, I wanted to keep that alive in that moment. So I never let the faith falter.
I want to ask you too, Heather, as we give Megan a moment as well, you are Megan's sister. So your parents were also on that roof, as well as your nephew. I am reading that you do not live in Asheville. So what was the communication? Did you know what was happening in real time as your family was waiting for that necessary life-saving support?
We were getting texts from Megan, and like Megan, we were hopeful. I mean, we never in a million years would imagine that this would have happened. And then things went dark, and we didn't have any communication. And our sister, Jessica, went into action mode and started calling on the only hope that we have,
prayer,
which is prayer. And the network came through like we have never seen. It's been such a blessing to our family, all the people, all of the responders, all around the world came and they prayed for us. In our family.
And I have to say, in the water, because I was stuck there for a very long time in the water, and I was, you know, held down by roots and trees. And in that moment, you know, in the midst of the chaos, all I heard was God telling me to be still and to stop fighting the water. That was him, but that was prayers. That was prayers that told me to be still and to let the water carry me to where I needed to be rescued.
And you were eventually rescued and sharing the story just 4 days later, Megan. Your son, Micah, 7 years old, from what I've been told, you're wearing one of his T-shirts. You call him a superhero.
yes, he wanted to be Deadpool for Halloween, and in his honor, I wore it today for him.
Micah, man.
Tell us about Micah and the legacy that he's going to leave on this earth.
this moment. You know, I'm so proud of my son because in his last moments, he wasn't screaming for me. He was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I hear you. Jesus, I'm calling upon you. And his wildest dreams and everything that he wanted to be was a superhero. And that was his goal in life. And instead, he's my hero because he reached for something past flesh, past human, past anything that even grown adults, I think, would reach for. My son called out to the one God Almighty. And I think at that moment, he was rescued and he became my hero. And I think all of them carried me through that moment. I think that his biggest dreams, he was the smartest, bravest, hopeful, great friend, great son. I couldn't have asked for a better son. And he was so happy up until the very end when he was screaming for Jesus. And in that moment, I think he found joy.
You know, the innocence of children is actually quite spectacular. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's it is. Marissa being a mother too, Megan and Heather, I do, amidst the tragedy, your parents as well, Jessica included, how will they be remembered? Heather, if you don't mind sharing about your parents.
Our parents, like everybody, were not perfect. But since the time that we could talk in our little Southern accents, they taught us Bible verses. And we had my dad. We had a big piece of cardboard. And for every Bible verse we memorized, he gave us a star. And they're the old foily stars. I don't even know if they make them now. But we got one for every verse. And those verses, to this day, are in our hearts and in our minds. And I think nothing, they wouldn't want to do anything else in this moment but to give honor and glory and to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And one verse in particular, Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, but what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love humbly, and to walk humbly with thy God.
We're a little rusty.
I think I know why Micah got his name now.
Yeah. Yes, he did, in honor of my father and in honor of that verse.
You two are incredible. You know, and I apologize. It's so emotional. I think anybody watching, it's hard not to get choked up. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Whew, I have I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Will you tell them why I'm sorry. I have a 7-year-old. I have a 7-year-old at home. And so I do want to ask you, oh, my gosh, I've never done this on air before, but I think people watching need to know that when we talk about over 120 lives that have been lost, these are brothers and sisters and sons and mothers and fathers. Yep. Prayer and faith is getting you through this, and it is such an important thing to lean on in this time. What is it you want people watching to know and to understand as we continue to bring coverage out of Asheville, out of North Carolina, out of these communities that have been so deeply and forever impacted?
I want them to remember that there is joy beyond the pain, that while we are wrapped in sorrow and while we are wrapped in grief and overwhelming regret for all the things that we could have done that we didn't, that they are happy. And they are joyful and they are all around us looking down. And my son couldn't be more proud at me for hanging on. My parents were probably lifting me up when I was in between the two things that were holding me down. They are rejoicing at the fact that I now can tell them what God did for me, because it was God. He said, be still. I am in control and you will pass on. This is a backfire for the devil because he tried to take me out. And here I am sharing the word that my 7-year-old is a hero and my parents live on in God's glory. Mighty Micah man.
I'm struck by your spirit. I mean, and having the support of your sisters. I know when it comes to this event, I would imagine, you being in the water, I know it's hard to gauge time. It was it a few hours until you were rescued? And how that
I was in the water. I was in the water for 5 hours. I was in the water for a very long time down the river. I got caught in some trees, and things were hitting me. I got dragged under a few times, and that's when I remember being in a tree. And I remember thinking, well, a voice told me I cannot stay here. I have to let go because they couldn't find me there. And I had to trust that voice to let go and to hope something else was waiting for me. And when I did let go, I heard the voice say, be still, don't fight the water. And then I ended up in between the two carriers that stuck with me the whole time. And I waited for about 2 hours until God blessed me with a man that saw me and the rescue team that provided for me. And I can't thank them enough.
You have a very long road ahead of you. And the grief, I know, is going to come in waves. For anybody that's experienced grief that is watching knows, I always say it moves like the ocean. It the ebbs and flows, and some days are going to be harder than others, and some moments will be easier. But I think remembering those moments of your son and of your parents are what ultimately those good memories, right, of laughter and joy are what see you through. In addition to your faith and speaking with us and sharing your story, both you and Megan and Heather, we so appreciate it. You have all of our prayers, our utmost condolences, and you know, as you navigate it, we hope you can carry with that some of our thoughts and love.
Thank you so much. You.
Sure thing. And we'd be remiss. There is a GoFundMe for Micah, for the family of Megan, Heather, and Jessica. Tragic. But that's the reality that so many have now had to face, the tough reality in this disaster. Jessica on Facebook posted that Micah's body was recovered about a quarter of a mile away from Megan's rescue.
All right. That was a James Dandy, wasn't it? Yeah. God feel family satellite. Praise God, that little 7-year-old would holler now for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That was awesome. Okay. Y'all ready for a good song? Let's pray for that family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up that family to you. I thank you, Lord, that we're just going to believe for when resurrection day comes that little Micah will come back to Mama. And I thank you for that, Father. Not only that, but Mom and Dad would come back as also. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Angels, I reckon y'all could do that for us. That would be awesome. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Hey, Vanita. Are you in a foreign country?
I am, yep. I'm in India. I'm at my uncle's house in Jodhpur, just a little bit south of New Delhi. So can I share a testimony real quick?
Sure, yes.
All right. So my aunt, whose house I'm in right now, she's just about 6 years ago, got very involved in a group of people. It's called Son to Human. And it's, you know, it's all about awakening to how to heal your body and then heal your, so first of all, you heal your body and then that heals your mind and heals and helps you understand the world you live in. Just, you know, all very spiritual. And so it's a big organization, and she goes around and talks, and she's not home very often. So anyway, she was home before my aunt passed away. That when my mom and I came here to visit her, and she ended up passing away before we got here. And so my aunt came in, and we had a memorial for her and everything. So anyways, so I got a chance to sit down and talk to her a little bit. And she's very passionate about what she does. You know, people that really believe something are passionate about it. And so she was telling me a lot about it. And I was, you know, just all the way here and everything. I was just praying in the spirit that the Lord would just give me an opportunity. And I just had, you know, I listened for a while and I said a few things. And her main thing is like all these, like there's all these historical figures that have taught us so much about how to live life the right way. Like Krishna is one of the Indian people, gods that they look to. And like, so I asked her, well, do you know about Jesus? And she's like, well, yeah, he's a great teacher. You know, we need to learn from him and understand what he is teaching us. But he's like, all these people aren't, we don't want to be like them. They're just humans. And so we have to, I'm not going to say this exactly like she did, but the gist is, you know, we have to just understand that they're just good teachers that we need to learn from. And so I was like, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, have you ever read the Bible or considered that path? Because your mind is open to knowing that there's other paths and other ways of thinking, but have you ever considered the Bible and Christianity? She's like, I haven't read it. And so anyway, I don't know. We talked a little bit. And so then we kind of had to go and do something else for a little while. So we couldn't talk too long. So I went and I took a shower and stuff. And I came back out and she was talking to my mom in the living room area. And it's just so cool how the Lord worked it out. He just took me out of the equation and he had my mom talking to her. And my mom was sharing my testimony for me and how I have, you know, what I've been going through and the things that have changed me. And she's telling her, she was just, my mom is so impressed that we were able to do a 7-day fast. She just can't even believe that I could do that. So that whole fast that we went through that time, my mom was very proud of me for being able to do that, you know, and we all know it was the Lord. I couldn't do it without him. But she was sharing that with my aunt, and my aunt was so impressed that I was able to fast for 7 days and not have water for 5 days and, you know, all that. And so she started asking me about what I was learning, and she was asking me about David and what he teaches, and she wanted to know where his website was. So I pulled up the website for her and I showed her like the books that are down there, and I pointed out Sovereign God to her, and I said, this is an amazing book. And it just opened this door for me to be able to share that with her. It was just awesome. It was really cool. Yeah. So I mean, I don't, you know, the Lord knows how he's going to use that, but you know, she knows that things aren't as we see them in the world. And this teacher that she's with right now has opened her eyes. I guess I feel like it's almost like the first church I went to, you know, they opened my eyes. Well, the Lord put me there for a reason. And so she's where she's at for a reason, but he's going to open her eyes. I just know it. She's seeking the truth and he'll pull her out of there. So praise the Lord. It's going to be exciting for my family when she comes out.
Amen.
She touches a lot of people, so that'll be awesome. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing her in and the whole family in. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Whew, that's a good one. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? All right, let's hear this world-famous song.
Let's settle down some. We need you to sing this song with us. Listen up.
God of creation, there at the start before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born.
And as you speak, my heart should be. Well, you lost your life, so I. Lord, if you left the grave behind you, so I can see.
Come on, Pastor, come on. Come on, just the voices, come on. Your promise still stands, say, promise. His promises still stand. We are still with you. This is our confidence. God, you never fail me. And he never will. And I never will. Oh, you never fail.
Okay, that's a good song. I like it. Yeah, Missy.
That particular video, how many views did it get?
82 million.
Wow. How old is it?
How
long does it say? How long it's been out? How many years?
How many years 6 months. No. 6 years. Is all. He died right after that.
That guy died.
The big boy did, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I wonder if he's the one that wrote the song you sure? Because I've only heard him sing it, and I've heard him sing it for years now.
What's the title of that song?
100 billion times.
Okay.
Yeah,
Taya originally sang it.
The original is, there's one version, the live version, was 142 million views 6 years ago.
Oh yeah.
142 million views 6 years ago.
The same guy?
No.
Who?
That particular one.
Okay. I like his version.
Yeah, his version's good. That guy's name is Osby Berry.
Yeah, he's from Hawaii. He's a Hawaii native. Or was. Yeah, he died. I don't know. It might have been diabetes or something. I don't remember what it was. He died a few years ago. Young guy, young man. He was very popular over there. He was kind of a rock star, you might say. Gospel rock star, you might say. He came over here and did a lot of concerts, too. During his reign there, he died. He was quite young when he died. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got something they want to talk about tonight? Anything on your mind, on your heart? How about the Word? How about the Word, boys? I'm going to read one of these progressive intimacies, if you don't mind. I don't care if you do. I'm going to read you one anyway. I think we need it. Listen to this. It says, in stillness, and in, can y'all hear me okay? Is my volume okay? Okay, thank you, Pat. In stillness and in quietness is your rest established. It's a secret place. It's a secret place of my heart. It is the place where I long for my people to be. It is the place that I am wooing my bride to come into. It is the secret place of my heart. It is the place where my glory dwells. It is the place that people desire to be, but they do not know how to get there, excuse me. Instead of just laying down to die, they strive and fight to attain to a place that I have already given to them. It is a standing that they do not realize I have given to them. It's my very nature. Their spiritual ignorance causes them to miss all of the blessings that I have for them. In this place, I have already provided them with an inheritance. All that I have is thine. As I walked as a steward, and the wealth of the kingdom was mine, so is the wealth of the kingdom theirs. From spiritual prosperity to material prosperity, all that they need is found in standing with me through my blood and through my grace that already belongs to them. Their ignorance and lack of understanding and well, as many years of wrong teaching and believing has left them void and confused of the reality of the truth of this standing. They must be brought into the realization of this truth through their one true teacher. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that they can and will be inoculated against the heresies and deceptions that have kept them bound for so many years. But because I will not violate their free will, many choose to stay in that place of deception and become more and more confused as the truth of my word is twisted and taken out of context. That's why I said, be not many teachers, knowing that you will receive the greater condemnation. They have itching ears and heap to themselves false prophets and teachers that they know will tell them what they want to hear. Great is the judgment and the accountability of those who have led my children astray. Woe to those false shepherds who feed my flock the vomit of devils and of the world, claiming it to be my word. Their judgment shall precede them, but I give to them warning in order for them to repent in time, for them to find my forgiveness and my grace, that they might be guided into all truth. Woe to those who judge before the time. Woe to those who destroy my sheep because of their ignorance, instead of lovingly correcting them and restoring them as I would do. Woe to my body who judges in her own thinking that her judgment is mine. It's not, saith God. There's one lawgiver and judge who all will stand for and give account. So I say, judge not before the time, but walk in the peace and in the truth that I have set forth on the foundation of my word. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If to flesh, then flesh. If to spirit, then to spirit. Sow to your spirit. Walk in peace and equity. And in doing so, you shall turn many away from iniquity. Do not cast your pearls, my precious pearls, before the swine, lest the judgment that you give return back to you. Walk in love, my children, and walk in forgiveness. Any root of bitterness in you will grow and cause the destruction of you and of those around you. I'm very serious in this matter. It is time to grow up. It is time to mature to full age and to walk in the fullness of my love. I grow tired of my church walking around in diapers year after year when I have given them all that they need to grow up and to walk in my truth. So be assured that you shall see many great changes in this year. And as the world grows darker, the light of my love and of my truth shall shine brighter. So take heed to my warning. Clothe yourself with humility and with meekness. If you do not, pride will creep in subtly and overtake you with deception before you can know what has happened unto you. Do not allow fear to control your lives, but walk in my perfect love that casts out all fear. Be aware and discern. Become wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. The religious spirit hovers over even the church of my bride to come in and bring destruction before she can reap this last day's harvest. This religious spirit is crafty and cunning. It will take total and utter dependence upon my Holy Spirit in order to see this end time operation and its deception. Rely upon my spirit and take heed to no other teachers but your one true teacher, my Holy Spirit of truth and the foundation of my word. Let me inoculate you against deception and reveal to you who I am in you, and you will surely overcome this final battle of deception as I have overcome. Speak forth my word. Pray in the spirit and worship me at all times. There's no other way. Abide in me. Abide in my word. I have given you all that you need. Go forth and possess the land and bring in this final harvest for me and for my glory. Selah. Glory to God. Lord, thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, Father. We just ask and we pray right now that you fill us all up with this Holy Spirit that we long for. And we thank you, Father, for a complete filling. One that when he fills us up, Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are going to be led by him. And Father, place it in our hearts to listen to only him as he teaches us and leads us into this time that we're in. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Father, for the power that he has given us through him. You have given us through him. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that for your Holy Spirit. But Lord, place it in our hearts to always pray in the Spirit as much as possible, because when we pray in the Spirit, Lord, we access the supernatural. We access you, Lord, and we thank you for it, because we can hear you clearer as we enter that portal to listen to you, Father. And we thank you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us the days that we're in right now. And I thank you, Lord, that the next time we all sit down and we focus on you and we don't move until we hear from you, that we tell you about our days, what we've done, how we want to hear from you and to ask what you would want us to know, that you would tell us in this quiet time that we have with you, Lord. And let that be every day, Lord, not just for 15 minutes, but for a while until we hear your voice, Lord. And I thank you for doing that, Father, so we can learn to understand and know that you are the one talking to us. Thank you, Father, for also placing it in our hearts to open in the Word of God and to study it every day. Study the teachings, study the Word, and to listen, Father. And I praise you and I thank you for complete filling of your Holy Spirit in everybody here. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing right now. I thank you for your glory, the Shekinah glory, to fall upon us, Lord, and to cover us in your love and your joy. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. glory be to God. And I ask, Father, that you do that right now to everybody. Everybody that seeks sweet with their whole heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with Vanita while she's away from us. And you'll cover her and Nick both with your shield of protection. And we praise you for it, Father, that she's going to be a light to everybody over there. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. And that goes for everybody else here, too. That when the family members see us, what is that glowing off of you? And you can sit down and tell them, it's Jesus. It's my God, my Father. It's my Holy Spirit that lives in me, that does this. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Lord, and I thank you for doing that for each and every one of us. Praise you, Father. All right. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Pat.
I have been seeing in myself, I guess in my flesh or whatever, a certain resistance to expressing praise, expressing the Lord. And so I'm not quite sure, you know, what it is, you know, a spirit, or if it's something, you know, that's hanging on, or, you know, something of the flesh, etc. But it is very, very subtle. And I've been asking the Lord to break that. And he has led me to many of the scriptures, related to praise, and worship and giving him thanks. But the interesting thing is that at my work, I'm working, this project that I'm on now, it's big enough that the client has required two superintendents. And so I'm working with another superintendent. And I learned a long time ago that when you're working with another, you know, superintendent in the project, that you always work underneath that other superintendent or whoever has the responsibility for the job. Yeah, I've learned to take a supporting role under that. Other superintendent, in order to create a single line or a single chain of authority, coming from our company, through to the crews below, etc. There's always kind of one, line. If you get two people, obviously the scripture says you can't serve two masters. And if you have two superintendents, you know, trying to direct people and get a whole bunch of conflict and whatever. So anyway, I I'm not quite sure exactly what I did, but I was directing one of the crew members to do a certain task or whatever. He didn't do it correctly, and so I sent a text to his, you know, his boss, and I copied that my other superintendent with it, just to kind of keep him in the loop. And I basically, you know, said, you know, this guy, you know, messed up this particular detail or whatever, and I'm going to need you to correct it, type of thing. The next day, my partner superintendent, he got very angry, because I did that. You know, I couldn't understand exactly, you know, I couldn't understand why, you know, because all that's irrelevant, quite frankly. But, and I started receiving back from him this very, hurt, almost got in an argument at the end of the day or something. And he said, basically, you take care of this over here and I'll run the job. You don't worry about the job. You just do that over there, type of thing. So it was like a strained type of, moment relationship type of thing. And it was all coming at me. Said fine, I can do that. And then I start praying and asking the Lord and to show me what the deal was. And he showed me that in my comment, I'll just say what I said. You know, he totally messed up a detail, a caulking detail. This may sound kind of, you know, stupid or whatever, but, because I used to do that, you know, for a certain amount of time, there's a certain technique and there's a certain artistic, you know, to doing it right type thing. And if you don't do it right, it makes something look like trash, you know. So up raised in me a hidden attitude of sarcasm or whatever you might say. And in my text, I said, listen, you got to get out here and fix this abortion. This is, you know, absolutely, you know, trashed out, you know. And the Lord showed me that that was judgmental. It was obviously this person had not been trained or did not know how to do it or whatever it would be. But what came out of me was a sarcastic, judgmental, type of attitude that was kind of displayed in that text that I sent out. And quite frankly, the Lord significantly dealt with me related to that sarcasm and dark tongue and critical attitude and whatever, long, long time ago, but seemed fit to raise it back up in this time. And so I realized, and me saying those things, the Lord gave me that example in the scripture of taking, of speaking against another man's servant, accusing another man's servant to, you know, that, I can't remember what it is, someplace in the Proverbs. And so I realized that my action there was a certain display of disrespect for my co-partner's authority and his, and the relationships that he has restored or created with his, contractors, so to speak. And I more or less, disrespected that authority. So anyway, my typical make a long story short, I went to him this morning and, we had a little time where we were alone dealing with an issue. And I just said, listen, I need to apologize to you for such and such. And he said, you don't need to apologize to me. Everything's fine, which it obviously wasn't. And I said, no, the Lord convicted me of this attitude and I needed to, express it to you and just, you know, let you know that I was sorry that that came out of me. I was disrespectful of, you know, and I don't remember everything I said or whatever. But when I was saying that, his demeanor was, you know, still against me or whatever. And when I said, the Lord convicted me of this, it's like he just stopped and he looked at me and was listening. And then I, you know, confessed what I did, et cetera, and, you know, apologized and whatever. And, it restored that relationship. And, you know, that portion of it has been resolved or whatever. But what I realized is that the Lord humbled me by bringing something up in me, and he humbled me, and which required that I humble myself and confess my error, my sin to this superintendent or whatever. And so I guess what I was seeing, I know I was going to bring this scripture up, but it kind of hit me as kind of one of the last ones, that hit me before this incident. And the Lord has been showing me a lot about praise and thanksgiving to him before others. And that resistance that I was speaking to about, I think it's pride or ego or I don't know what it is, but it is very, very subtle deep within or deep in the flesh or however you want to say it. But excuse me. It opposes, a free expression of God's goodness, God's grace before others. I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I read this, these scriptures, and it just kind of, you know, kind of hit me here. But I want to read Luke chapter 17, 11. It's about the 10 lepers. And in verse 11 of 17, it says, "And it came to pass, as they were on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go and show yourselves unto the priests.'" And obviously that particular verse reflects back to, I think, the law, where a leper, you know, had to present themselves before the priest and show them the sore on him or the whatever. And after, you know, it's a whole thing. I didn't go back into that, but this, when he said, "Go show yourselves unto the priests," they only did that when they were healed, and then the priest, you know, verified that they were healed. So then it said, "It came to pass as they went," so all of them turned and went, "that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." And the interesting thing that Jesus said, "Were not the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where were there none found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger?" And he said to him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." And as I got to thinking about that, "Thy faith has made thee whole," and he connected it with thanksgiving and giving glory to God before everyone there. And Jesus only said to this man, "Thy faith has made thee whole." But what about those other 9? Because I believe they were healed, but did it go anywhere? Did they keep it? Did it, you know, what happened after that? I don't know. Can't answer. But this one who returned glory and gave thanks and praise to God was the one that was made whole by his faith. So the Lord has been definitely, and I believe that it is by this praise, thanksgiving, that sacrifice of thanksgiving, that expression of God's goodness and healing and of his word before others, is the very thing that crucifies that very subtle pride or remnants of that old sin nature, or what you know, whatever it is, it's that very giving of thanks and praise to God in the midst of that opposition that that God is able to humble us and at the same time pour into our lives and into our heart the very grace it takes to overcome as he overcame. I believe that. So I just want to share that and just kind of what the Lord has been doing in my life, I get. Yes. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for showing us our errors, giving us the wherewithal to go ahead and repent and come back into your wonderful, wonderful sanctification. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about it from that point on. It's done. Amen. No more condemnation either. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie?
That, I get it. The Lord used circumstances and people and my mistakes and all that kind of thing at work many times. Well, not many times, but a few times. I remember as you were sharing those things, I remember going to a few people. Well, I had made a mistake. My mouth got me in trouble and I said something I shouldn't have said. And, you know, and just, I was like sitting at my desk being convicted and like, the Lord's like, I'm gonna go say something. You know, you better go back and apologize. You know, now while you're being convicted, you know, and so I did that. And it is humbling, but you know, I believe in my heart that, you know, it was right for me to do it. I know it was right for me to do it. And I'm believing that, you know, as a testimony to them, you know, being honest and humble and, you know, admitting I was wrong and asking them to forgive me. You know, I was wrong saying what I said or how I said that. And, you know, I was accepted, you know, what I said. It was never like, I never got a bad reaction. It's just picked up. Everybody did that. But yeah, God used that at work before. Thank you, God. He knows how to do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you're walking with God, we've all done it. As we learn. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking all pride, all those things that hinder our walk away from us. Help us to show us what it is that hinders our walk so that we can repent and come back in. Walk like you want us to walk. Give us that wherewithal to do it immediately when it comes to pass. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew. I'll get to you in a minute, Teresa.
Okay.
I have a question. I have this phrase written here. I don't know if it's a quote. Every servant, when he is perfected, shall be as his master. Is that a verse? I don't know. If it is, okay. Yeah. You know, sometimes when you write down words, when people say things, you don't know if it's an exact quotation or not, or, cause, you know, I got some other things under, by faith, see the end, you, and, the end from the beginning, Ephesians 2:13. The finished work of Christ at the cross, of Christ, of course. If God says it about you, believe it. You know, I don't know even where I got these references. I'm just, I sometimes stare there. And I haven't stared there for a while, but I just wanted to know if every servant, when he is perfected, shall be as his master. Is it something you go through? Or is it something... Well, you know, perfection is what he gave us, and we attain more fruit, but I guess he... If we would always have that focus or mindset, I don't know if it's a verse, then not just a mindset, but the manifestation of it, the shining of it. I guess we would always be in glorifying Jesus. So... the question is every servant, when he is perfected, shall be as his master. Is it a verse? And can anyone tell me where that verse is?
Pat put it in the chat.
Amen. Did you get it, Andrew?
It's the second part of that verse in Luke 6:40. So I'll have a look at that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Teresa, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Forgot about you.
What I discovered is that, you know, when I started playing the piano, I didn't have anybody to teach me. So, you know, I'd ask God to teach me. And he would just notes at a time, you know, until I would have a melody. And then I would ask, well, what's the word? What's the words to that? And he would give me, it's Psalm 23 or it's Psalm, 46, et cetera. And so, Matthew 7, ask and it'll be given. And the more I played that, the more I played the word, then, God's Holy Spirit would just fall. God's Holy Spirit would just rise up. And I noticed that the circumstances would be The circumstances of life would not be, the circumstances of life would be changed into a different realm, it would be God's realm that was working, and the physical realm, it would just be changed from the physical realm to God's realm working. And I would even, when I was in Bonner's Ferry, I was out in the wilderness, and I loved it out there. I became friends with a flock of wild turkeys. It was just one turkey at first, a female turkey, and then she would bring a friend, and they would bring some more friends, and pretty soon I had a flock of 22 wild turkeys that would come and visit me. And of course I fed them. They liked dog food. So I would throw, I had a giant German Shepherd and a littler German Shepherd, and I would just, throw the dog food out over the fence to the turkeys. They wouldn't come inside the fence because of the shepherds, But even in the relationship with the animals, it was just a different realm. It wasn't the physical realm. It was just things were operating in God's realm. And so anyway, the Holy Spirit fell on me, or I would not say fell, but rose up and in me and around me because I was playing the word, you know, and playing the word, you know, it is praise. So anyway, that was my experience.
Well, you know, November's right around the corner here. I'm just saying. All right.
Are you talking about turkey and Thanksgiving or something, Michael? Are you trying
to
make her think that some of her friends are going to get taken?
Well, you know, maybe now kidnapped. I don't think Teresa heard me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. When we ran into a flock, not ran into him, but came by one, a flock of about 12 or 14 yesterday, right down the hill here. So I'll tell you something I saw that I'm noticing now. The further we get into the year, I've noticed that these turkeys are getting fatter and fatter. They're looking good. I'm big and nice and juicy. Oh, my goodness. I can see turkey. Anybody else like turkey? You like turkey, Ben? Yeah. I figured you would. All right, anybody else? She, I ran her off. Look at that. Good gracious. Oh, there she is. Yeah, Judy.
Teresa, did the turkeys come around because you were singing the Word of God? Is that what you were telling us? They were drawn by your singing and your playing the piano?
No, they came around because I fed them.
Oh. Oh my.
But they were also my friends. You know, because other people would not, you know, other people lived around me too. And the turkeys didn't go to them. But I had befriended them, and so they befriended me. And so it ended up that because the winter time in Idaho is pretty hard. And they were trying to get these turkeys established in Idaho. And so by my taking care of them, it helped them to have more babies so that the flocks could grow. And so, but it ended up, and so they did get, you know, they did go off into the forest and they did have their babies and everything. And, you know, so they did get a good start, but it ended up the neighbors, some neighbors moved in that liked to use them for target practice. And so I had two neighbors that ended up killing a lot of them. But, you know, I do know that the ones, you know, they went into different areas in the forest and in the fields around there. And so, you know, there are flocks that survived.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good news. I wish I could share this great news. Oh, my goodness. You see it in the news tomorrow. Who put that up there in the chat? Missy?
We don't read the news. We've been told not to read the news.
or listen to it.
Seriously, it's going to be in the news?
Huh?
Seriously, it's going to be in the news?
I can't hear you. You got your mouth full.
Seriously, is it going to be in the news?
I expect it. It'll be either tomorrow or the next day.
Okay.
Strike is over. Yeah. Jenny knew what I was talking about.
Crazy. Michael, can I share my screen for a second to show you a picture?
If it's decent, I'll be fine, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It kind of matches with Teresa's story a little bit.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, wait, it's already checked. You can go ahead and share it.
Well, I can?
Yeah.
Oh, share screen.
Yeah.
What's this? Here we go.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
What's that? Allow for 1 month? How do I get rid of that?
I don't know. I didn't know what it is.
Open. Oh, what is this? I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. We, I don't know when this was. This is maybe a month ago or something. We had a full moon. And it was such a big full moon, I just decided to step out my door and take a picture. And after I took a picture, then I had to go to the grocery store. So I popped back in and, took my wife and run to the grocery store. And when I came back out, a fox was sitting out there. It's probably, maybe 20 feet from my front door, and you can see the light around it and everything like that. And it just stood there and looked at me, and I started talking to it, you know, like you would a dog, my puppy or whatever, you know, what are you doing, buddy? And he just sat there and looked at me, and then he sat down, and I just continued to talk to him and chat with him, you know, and, you know, like I would my dog or whatever. And he was just looking at me, just kind of curious. And then he started howling to the moon. And the interesting thing about it, when he was howling there, you couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear his howl. The only thing I can suspect is it was maybe above our frequency of hearing or something like that. But he just sat there and howled at me, and, you know, howling at the moon and whatever. Then he got up and took off, and I yelled at him again, and he stopped again and looked at me. So I thought it was kind of neat. Animals, you know, even wild animals would sit there and talk to you, you know, so it's pretty cool. Anyway.
Amen.
I'm through.
What time of night was that when you took the picture of the moon and the fox was out?
I'm going to say it was maybe 9 o'clock, something like that. Yeah.
I could tell what he was wanting. He was wanting something to eat.
Food, yeah. I should have threw some dog food to him.
Huh? Yeah, some bologna. it's a pretty one. That was an eastern fox, I think is what they called him.
Yeah, it looked very healthy, you know.
Yeah.
So
we had one around here too. Whoa. All right. Now some more good news. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my. We had one Pat that would come up to the house, and he'd come around. Of course, I put scrap food, if you know, when I'm scraping plates or something, I'll scrape them out in the yard, and they'll come up here. Coons will too. But he stayed around for a long time. I hadn't seen him in a little while, but anyway, they are pretty, They're nice looking. We had one with a black face and a regular red fox. That one with the white face is an eastern fox, red fox, I think is what they call them. Something like that. Well, we're about out of time here, or we are out of time. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for all the good work you're doing in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that things are happening that are it's going to just amaze the world. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done tonight with us, and filling us with your Spirit and leading us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, saints, good night.